Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. Hey, good morning. This is Justin, and you're listening to the Grace for This City podcast. Hey, we're so glad to be here today. Guess what we're doing? We're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you scriptural motivation and strategy so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King. King Jesus, that is. And don't you know he wants you to be in the game? So we're going to get you built up and equipped and strengthened today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast right now, let somebody know about it. Share it with somebody that you love. Send it to somebody that you think would be encouraged and strengthened by the podcast. Of course, you can go back and get all the archives. I don't know where you're listening to this podcast, what platform you're listening to it on, but it's out there pretty much on everything, everywhere. If you're listening to me, and you'd like to watch it, you can go to our Facebook page, Grace for This City Podcast Facebook page, or the YouTube channel. You can get them there. All right, here we go. We're going to jump into the episode today, and I want to encourage you in something, and it's that we're in the last days. We are in the last days, and God has some plans. He's got some strategic plans for you to be right in the middle of what he's doing. We don't want to be on the left or the right. We don't want to be in the ditches. We want to be right in the middle, going full speed ahead in what God is doing and what's on the agenda. And he wants to recruit you and others because this is an amazing time. It's absolutely an amazing time. And so I want to encourage you today in a few things. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Hey, friend, this is a time to be serious. Hey, we're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, this is a great adventure. I mean, no doubt about it. This is these are going to be the greatest days of our life. But we need to be aware. We need to be sober. One verse says we need to have our wits about us, because even though we're at the end of this thing, one of the things about being at the end, and we learn this in the book of 1 John, that you know that it's the last days, is what John said in chapter 2. You know it's the last days because there is an uptick or an increase in the activity of Antichrist. The Antichrist has not come, but don't you know that hell's strategy is all about setting the stage for the revealing of the Antichrist? Praise the Lord that there's a restrainer, and that's you and me. We're the body of Christ. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. The restrainer, the person of the restrainer, is the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ in the earth, and we're a part of that restraint. So the Antichrist isn't going to come while the restrainer is still here. While the body of Christ is still in the church, the Antichrist is not going to be revealed. It's not until the rapture of the church or the apostasia, which is translated departure. 1 Thessalonians tells us that until the church departs, the Antichrist is going to be restrained. But 1 John tells us, you know that you're in the last days, because you'll see an increase or an uptick. You'll see the rapid movements of the spirit of Antichrist, lowercase Antichrist, false prophets, lowercase Antichrist. The operation of the spirit of Antichrist is going to be, we could probably say it like this. There's going to be a mature functioning of it. But praise the Lord, the church is also coming into its greatest days. It's full mobility, it's full stature, it's full season or time, the time appointed by the Father, Galatians 4 says, the time of our maturity. Oh, it's going to be awesome. But friend, don't you know that these are going to be the greatest days and the worst of days? It's going to be the dance and it's going to be a dirge. It's going to be the blackest nights, but it's going to be the brightest glory. I mean, we're kind of in like these a time of such polar opposites. You can see it right now. You can see the spirit of that in the world right now. That's not taking anybody by surprise. You know, there's no partnership. There's no gray areas. It is totally polarized. It is black or it is light. It is dark. It is light. It is black. It is white. But praise the Lord, these are going to be great days. But that's why he's saying, look, you got to be aware the end of all things is here. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Nothing to be afraid of, but you need to be positioned and poised for it. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you in some things. Somebody told this to me once, and they said, you're an end time preacher. And I thought, you know what? My core message is not really one of eschatology, which is the study of end times, specifically, you know, different biblical doctrines concerning the end times. I don't really preach on that. But the Holy Spirit, not honorably, but later the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that he wasn't speaking to me or referring to the fact that I preach on, you know, tribulation, or I preach on the rapture, or I preach on different topics concerning, you know, typical traditional end time eschatology. But he said, you are a minister in the end of days. You are an end time minister, meaning you are alive and you are an ambassador and you are a representative of the kingdom in the time of the end. And friend, I want you to awaken to the fact that you may never get up and preach out of Revelations, but I'm telling you right now that you are a minister. You are a minister of reconciliation who is ministering in the last days. And so our assignment and our work is associated with the time in which we have been placed. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and this is an Old Testament passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, listen to this. From the tribe of Issachar, which was part of David's mighty men, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Now, this is very interesting. So there were these 200 leaders in the tribe of Issachar, these men who were associated with David's mighty men. These were some great people. And specifically, these men were anointed, we could say. They possessed a grace upon them that they were able to understand the sign of the times and knew, as a result of understanding the times, they knew the best course that Israel should take. Now, what's interesting is I started to look this up, and I just looked into the word or the number 200. I thought, well, that's interesting. What does 200 mean? And the symbolic meaning of 200 here in this passage is insufficiency. And that really stood out to me. Insufficiency, meaning not enough. And then I began to realize, wait a second, I see something here that the Lord's saying. He's saying of those who understood the times in which they lived, and therefore had knowledge of what must be done and accomplished because they understood the time in which they lived, that number was only 200. This was an insufficient amount. What's the Lord saying, friend? He's saying that we need a revival, as it were, of an awareness of the times, which will lead to an awareness of the tools or combination of tools required to get the work associated with the time and the season accomplished. Listen, we need to wake up and to where we're at in history. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is more than willing. In fact, he is wanting to right now to give you an increase, cause you to increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing, that you'll be able to discern the time. You will be alive to your time. You will be awakened to the season, to the era in which you are living. Now, this is important, friend, because depending on the season that you're in, that season will determine the tools and the work. All right? Listen to this in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed time, and the turtle dove, and the swift, even the swallow observe the time of their coming. Listen, friend, but then prophet Jeremiah said this. The Lord was speaking through Jeremiah to his people, and he said, but my people, the Lord saying, my people do not know the ordinances of the Lord. What's he saying? He said, even the stork, the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow, they are awake to the time of their coming. They are awake to their season. They're awake to the ordinances. They know when to go south. They know when to go north. They know when to move here. They know when to move there. They understand what they're supposed to be doing in the time they're supposed to be doing it. And here the Lord's saying to his people, my people are dumb. They're deaf. They're blind to my ordinances. Even the animals know what the ordinances are. Even the animals know the times and the seasons and what they must do in relationship with the time and the season. Oh, friend, are you getting what I'm saying here? Deception and ignorance is a strategy of against you, friend. 1 John chapter 2, and I mentioned this earlier. 1 John chapter 2 is where we begin to realize that we should know the time and the season. He said, you'll know you're in the last days because you'll see a increase in the spirit of Antichrist, in the outworking of Antichrist. But in verse 20, he said this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Oh, friend, listen. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is specifically needed in this time, especially as the outworking of Antichrist, which is Antichrist, the premier strategy of which is deception. But he's saying, look, you've got the Holy Ghost and you don't need to worry about it. If you'll follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, you will navigate the last days. But what else is the Holy Ghost going to do? He's the revealer of the time and season. He's the revealer of the ordinances of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in you is the same power or grace that was working in the sons of Issachar. Therefore, they had discernment. They knew the season, and they knew what they should do. Daniel 2:21, it says this, he changes times and seasons, referring to the Lord God, and he removes kings and sets up kings. And it says this, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Meaning that even though God changes seasons and initiates his plans, he gives wisdom to the wise about the times and the seasons. Again, because the specific work you are to do is connected to the season and the times of God, it is imperative, friend, that you understand the devil will try and keep you ignorant to it. I don't know where we're at. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know the time. I don't know the season. I don't know which era. If you don't know, if you're either in the time of sowing or you're in the time of harvest, say, you'll have the wrong tools out. You'll have the wrong equipment. You'll be trying to do something that was not intended for the time. There's a specific time to get the tools and the equipment to harvest. But if you're in the time of sowing, you don't need the harvesting equipment out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your work is specific to the time and the season in which you live. And this is why he's saying, look, we're at the end, and you need to be serious and watchful. Why? So that your hands will be about the appropriate work, that you won't be lazy, you won't be idle, you will be active. Remember that when Jesus is going around and he's trying to hire people to go work in the vineyard, and he talks about, why have you sat out here idle? Listen, idleness isn't necessarily doing nothing. Most people define idleness as doing nothing. Kind of, they equate it with lazy in this sense, that if you're idle, you are sitting down, you're not doing any work, you're not producing any results, you're literally doing nothing. Well, idle isn't necessarily doing nothing. Idleness is purposeless work. So there's a lot of people who are busy. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things, but they're going to be judged as idle unless what they're doing is connected with what God is doing. If what they're doing is connected with the work and the time and the season, the work associated with the time and the season, if it's not, you're going to be judged idle. if you're not producing purposeful results in relationship to what God is doing in the time and the season, you're going to be judged idle. Come out of that, friend, and wake up in the name of Jesus. There's an anointing today for you to have a revelation of the time in which you live and the work at which you're supposed to be doing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Hallelujah, friend. This is good. In Jeremiah 5, this really rocked my world when I first saw this. In Jeremiah chapter 5, God calls a particular group of people. Watch this. He calls them defiant and rebellious. And he said that they had, quote, revolted and departed from him. I think that's New King James in Jeremiah 5. That they had revolted and departed from him, all because they did not keep in their heart as a meditation that God gives things in seasons and reserves for them appointments and reserves even certain weeks for them. Listen, God did not think it God didn't think this was no big deal, that they didn't meditate, they didn't keep as a meditation of their heart that God does things in times, he works in seasons, he reserves appointments, he reserves certain weeks for certain groups, for certain people, for certain activities. Listen, this is a real deal. God moves and operates in seasons. And we just shifted into what they call a new era. And this is a larger period of time. It's greater than a season. Maybe there are many seasons within an era. But friend, do you even know that God has shifted? Do you even know that the timetable, God's calendar, as it were, that things are moving along? Are we even awake? Are we aware? Are we observant of what God is doing? Are we able to stay with God? You know, a couple podcast episodes back, I had my wife on here, and we were talking about prayer. And we made this statement that the Lord was ministering to us about that time where he asked the disciples to stay up with him, to stay up with him, to stay up with him, to stay up with him. Of course, they were falling asleep, and he said, "Can you not stay up with me? Can you not stay up with me just 1 hour?" And prophetically, the Holy Spirit was showing us that to stay up with Jesus, you stay up with him. You keep up with him in prayer. Remember, we started out in 1 Peter. Look, we're at the end of all things, okay? And when you get to the end of a thing, there's a rapid acceleration, okay? This is Amos chapter 9, that the plowman will overtake the reaper. This is speaking to the reality that when you get to the vortex of a thing, kind of like if you pull the drain in a bathtub, you know, it looks like the water's not even going out there for a while. But when the water gets down to where it's almost gone, you begin to see an acceleration. You begin to see a vortex begin to form, and the water is just being drawn down through the drain. Well, in a similar way, when you get to the end of a thing, you know, there is a rapid acceleration, and that's what we are entering in now. There's an acceleration of events. There's an acceleration of God's plan. There is a revelation of how things work in the spirit. Therefore, we're able to operate more efficiently. There's things that we didn't know before. The knowledge of how things work, keys are being given to us. We're entering into a stage of maturity. Jesus said, "There's things I want to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now." Well, we're able to bear certain things now. Knowledge, understanding, revelation about who we are, what we have, about the Lord's plans and how we're involved in them. There's an acceleration of things. There's an increase of activity. And we are to be keenly aware. We're to stay up with him in this last hour. How are you going to keep up with him? Well, you're going to be serious in your prayers. You're going to be serious. You're going to be sober. You're going to be spiritually minded. You are going to be watchful. And if you'll do those things, you'll be able to keep up with what Jesus is doing, what the kingdom is doing, what the Father is doing. and how that is associated with the time and the season in which we live. Now, we got to understand something. Why would God call it rebellion to be unaware of the times and seasons? Well, here's one reason, is that God reveals himself in a progression. And in each progression, we are tasked to awaken to the possibilities and the objectives within each dimension of revelation. For example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." In each dimension of revelation, we are expected to live into the invitation the revelation brings. In this sense, faith isn't just a generic and static conviction. No, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is substance." Let me ask you a rhetorical question, friend. Are you and I building with the substances, with the substance, to the degree it has been made available to us? Listen, the latest faith is required for this season. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "And all of us, with unveiled face, because we continue to behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image, ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." That was 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Again, we go from what? Glory to glory. From one degree of glory to another. Are we walking in the dimension of glory being made available to us? What's required is the living into the fullness of the glory for this season. Hey, listen. We have a responsibility to discover the limits and the boundaries of this dimension of glory and demonstrate it. The latest glory is what's required for this season. Oh, hallelujah. And then Psalm 84:7 says they go from strength to strength, so there's a progression. John 1:16 says grace upon grace. There's another progression. One grace can build upon another grace. One grace can lay upon another, and the two, when combined in synchronous and harmonious activity, create something entirely new. That is a supernatural phenomenon called synergy. Now listen, again, we've been placed, okay, and a position in time. A position in time has been reserved for us. This is what he was telling him in Jeremiah 5. There is an appointment specific to our moment in history. I don't think I had this in my notes, but let's look at John chapter 4 really quick. John chapter 4. Let me just look ahead and make sure I didn't have this in my notes. No, let's go to John chapter 4. And I want to show you this in the scriptures because this is so important. Let me drive this point home here. It says this in John chapter 4, verse 34. Of course, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to," I love this, "and to finish his work." To finish his work. Listen, friend, we are the finishing generation, and there is a finishing anointing available for you and I right now. In fact, what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church right now is he's posturing us into the pace and the posture of the finish. We are the finishing generation, and there's a pace that he's getting us into and developing us into, and there's a posture that he's getting us into. And all that connected and combined together is what's going to be the thrust or the momentum for us to wrap this thing up. We're going to wrap this thing up, friends. All right, but here's something very important. I love this passage. And he said this, verse 36, John 4:36, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for Zoe life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Now, Let me just touch on that really quick. What that's saying is there's been one work, but the work is divided into different work. But the works, when combined, are all working together on the big plan. So God has had this trajectory. He has got this plan that goes through generations. Listen, when God called Abraham to come out of his place and to follow him, and he said, I'm going to give you children. You're going to be the father of many nations. And we know that he's the patriarch of faith, that all those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, that Abraham kind of like spearheaded that. Okay? We're children of Abraham. He's Father Abraham. Okay? And, but here's the thing. What God did in Abraham, it wasn't going to stop with Abraham. What he did in Abraham, he intended to get through Abraham into another generation. And this is what God does. What he does in one doesn't stop with the one. What he does in one, he intends to get through the one into another generation. That same work, if you understand that the mission and mandate of Jesus coming and dwelling among us, being born of the Virgin Mary, you got to understand it started a long time ago. It started many generations before. What God does in you, he intends to get through you. He is working his plan out even into a generation after you, but he works it in you to get it through you. Hello, somebody. All right, so that's a principle here. And what one did yesterday, we enter into what they started yesterday, but what they did then and what we're doing now, we will reap, come on, and enjoy the fruit of our labors together because we're in the same work. All right, so he said in verse 37, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. Verse 38, listen to this. Jesus said, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Couple things that we see here is that you don't choose your work. Jesus chooses your work. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that he places in the body as he sees fit. You don't choose your place in the body. You don't choose your work. Acts chapter 17 says that our boundaries have been defined. Our pre-appointed time has been defined. By who? We didn't choose it. The Heavenly Father, in his masterful plan, David saw the book. King David saw the book. He writes about it in Psalms. He saw the book, and in that book were all the days of David's life. They were written down in the book. All the days, he said, even the days I haven't even lived yet were written down in that book. In that book, in the book of your life, in the book of the body of Christ, and in the chapters that deal with you and your place in the body of Christ. Listen, he chooses in the body where you are to be, meaning he chooses the time in which you were born. He chooses the season in which you were born. He chooses the era in which you will work. He places you in your labors. He assigns you your work. And here we see some were assigned to sow, others were assigned to reap. Some were assigned in the season of sowing, others were assigned in the season of reaping. Do you understand now why he said that the 200 leaders of Issachar was an insufficient number? You see now why he was prophesying through Jeremiah about this rebellious and defiant people who were not awake. We could say it like this: they refused to be awake to their appointment in history. Listen, if you don't know where you're at in history, you have no clue what you're supposed to be doing. Your purpose is associated with the time in which you live. Oh, friend, come on, this is so good. Get this in your spirit. Get this in your spirit. Wake up to the grace and the anointing that's going to come on you in the name of Jesus to become awake to where you can stay up and keep up with what Jesus is doing. Friend, you were born for this time. You were born for this time. And the devil wants to rob you of your purpose. He wants to rob you of the knowledge of the time in which you live and the season in which you live. He wants to rob you of the work you've been graced to do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, in the Amplified Classic, it says this, that he planned, Oh, he's a master planner. He is a master planner. We are part of the plan. He said he planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ. Oh, watch this. Both things happening in heaven and things happening on the earth. Listen, within each dimension of revelation, there is expected to be a demonstration. But that demonstration is limited until the unifying pieces are placed into position, thus connecting each level or floor. For example, if we think about a house or, you know, like a building, like a house, the construction of a house or a building. The capstone or the keystone awakes the fullness or the totality of the structure. Now listen, he said that he planned that in the maturity of the times, which we're in, because we're in the last days, okay, we're at the end of all things. This is why we see a maturity of the wheat and the tares. We see a maturity of the sons of God. We see a maturity in the demonstration of the demonic forces. Why? Because that's what happens when we reach the end. When things grow up, when things grow, when there's a progression of growth over a period of time, things develop, things grow. And this is what's been happening in the body of Christ. And subsequently, that's because it's a spiritual law. That's what's been happening in the forces of darkness. There's been a maturing of their outworking on both sides. Light's getting brighter, the dark's getting darker. That's maturity, okay? That's a progression into what? Into fullness or maturity. So he's saying at the end or the maturity of the times or at the end of time, he planned for a climax and a unifying of all things. Okay, what's he talking about? Of all the labors. In each time, in each season, God had a particular work. All these works were paying it forward, as it were. And what one sowed, the next generation would reap. And then there would be a sowing, and there would be a reaping, and then be a sowing and be a reaping, so on and so forth. And we see a spiritual principle here, that there would be an increase, right? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Listen, just the principle of sowing and reaping, if you maintain that work right there, you begin to exponentially increase. There is an increase of the harvest in each cycle. Do you understand that? You know, if you started with one seed and you sowed it in the ground and it produced 30-fold, and then you took a portion of that and you re-sowed it and it produced, you know, 30-fold or 60-fold, and you took a portion of that and you sowed it, do you understand how it exponentially grows? God designed it to where there would be a progression of revelation. Faith to faith, glory to glory, grace upon grace, strength to strength. Oh, thank you, Father, for that. Absolutely amazing. And when we would get to the end of time, we would be reaching the fullness or the maximum potential of all things coming into revelation. It would be visible. It would be revealed. It would no longer be a mystery. It would no longer simply be hidden for us. It would become known. And he planned this. He planned it in Christ. The climax of it is going to be in Christ. In Christ. Well, what is Christ? Specifically, he's talking about the body. When he's talking about Christ here, he's talking about the body. You have Jesus, the head, but then you have the body. And the body is made up of what? You and me. And he planned that in the maturity of the times, in the climax of the ages, he would unify all things. Unify all things? All what? All things? Things what? All the work. All the dimension of revelation. He would unify all the faith to faith. He would unify all the glory to glory. He would unify all the strength to strength. He would unify all the grace upon grace. He would unify all that in what? In Christ. And he would bring together all the things happening in the earth and all the things happening in heaven and bring them together in what we would know as the revealing of the sons of God or the body of Christ. Or we say it like this, the maturing of the bride. So when we look at this and we see it maybe as a structure being built, of course, Paul referred to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he said he was a master builder, and that we were to be cautious at how we built and what we built, but that the foundation was Jesus, but yet there was going to be this structure built upon, okay? What is that? That was the body of Christ. So all these works, all the work throughout the ages, for example, like the healing revival, and let me help you with this in case you've been confused. I want you to see it for the way it was designed. A lot of people say, well, why didn't it last? Why didn't it last? Well, listen, we had the maturing of the revelation of healing and how easy healing was to flow. You know, during the healing revivals, you know, back in the 40s and the 50s, you know, during that time, all those ministers said it was so easy. It was so easy. I mean, amazing, crazy, like unbelievable, impossible things were being done. People were being healed of all kinds of stuff, and it was so easy. It was easy, easy, it was easy. Everybody said it was easy. The healings just flowed. They just flowed. I mean, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people just would come under tents, or they would be here or there, and they would just get healed. They would just get healed. It was so easy to get healed. Well, why didn't it last? Well, listen, it was a work. It was a work, and there was a maturing of that work. It was a floor. It was a level. It had to be laid. It was part of the building. It had to be laid. Well, we had a charismatic renewal. I was just in some meetings this last weekend in Oklahoma and ran into some people who have come out of a denominational church that historically has not been charismatic. Historically, they have not flowed in the gifts of the Spirit according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They have not spoken in tongues like what happened in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19, several chapters when they said, hey, since you've believed in Jesus, have you received the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 19, these guys said no. They were great followers of Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. They love Jesus. They gave up what they were doing to follow Jesus, but they had not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They said, we hadn't even heard of such a thing. Well, they received the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. This was a part of the charismatic renewal. There were people that hadn't even heard that there was such a thing. And the Holy Spirit demonstrated himself. He wanted to be in them in fullness. That was the promise in Acts chapter 2. Wait, because there's a gift coming. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper, and he's going to baptize you. Even John the Baptist, he said, there is a greater baptism after mine. John's baptism is great. His is the baptism of repentance. His is the baptism in water. But then he said, hey, there's one after me. John the Baptist, the good Baptist, he said, there's a baptism after my baptism. And he said, that baptism, you'll be baptized with the Spirit and fire. This was what was happening in the charismatic renewal. There were all these great disciples of Jesus, people who loved Jesus, people who gave up everything to know and to follow and to worship and to love Jesus, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. And the charismatic renewal went all over the world. There were millions of people all over the world who were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 said they received the power, dunamis. They became witnesses within and through that power, empowered them to be witnesses. And then they also spoke in tongues. And so we were just at these meetings, and I met some people who literally just got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and they go to a denominational church that historically denies all those things. What's happening? A renewal. The Holy Ghost has impacted that church. That is absolutely amazing. Well, what about this charismatic renewal? Millions around the world, again, were introduced to the person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see it for what it was. And people say, well, why didn't it continue? You know, there was this thrust. There were several years there where it was like this thrust, and it was just like popcorn. It's just like pop, 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 just all over the world. It seemed like this quick, rapid move of the Holy Ghost, and millions in a short period of time were being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why didn't it last? Well, listen, that floor had to be established. Faith to faith, glory to glory, grace upon grace, strength to strength. Listen, within the season, that work was highlighted. That work was highlighted in that season. We had to demonstrate that dimension of faith. They had to work within that dimension of glory. They had to be faithful within that dimension of operation. That time, that season highlighted their work. And that was paid forward, as it were. It was a floor, a level that was laid, built, and established. Listen, those seeds had to be sown. Those seeds had to be positioned strategically. Listen, that level had to be built and positioned in order for the capstone to be set upon, bringing synergistic fullness. What about the revival of faith, the Word of Faith movement? What about the Welsh revival? What about the Azusa revival? Go all the way back to the early 1900s. What about the apostolic movement that's currently in operation right now? What about the prophetic movement, you know, that came about in the 80s and the 90s? What about the revelation of prosperity? What about Israel? What about the nations? What about work that has been done in certain seasons, in certain times, in certain appointments, in certain weeks that have been reserved? You know, people say, oh, the Azusa revival didn't last. No revival lasts. Well, listen, there's weeks that have been reserved so that we can go from faith to faith, glory to glory. Listen, there's weeks, there's appointments. Are you get what I'm saying, friend? There are times and a season that have been reserved for a certain emphasis on a work or an outworking or a revelation or a maturing of a thing so that it could be paid forward. Listen, if we'll see these things for what they are, for what they were a birthing. Each of these operations brought into visibility, even tangibility. It brought into our reach a how things work in the spirit knowledge. Something that was not seen is now seen. You know, we didn't see the things that happened in Azusa prior to Azusa, like the way they were revealed at Azusa. And everybody gets mad. Oh, Azusa, it doesn't happen anymore. Or they get mad at Toronto, or they're upset at Brownsville, or they're upset at these different moves of God, and they get negative about it. They get hateful about it. They get doubtful about it. They get critical about it. They start getting tossed to and fro about it. But listen, friend, I'm telling you to put it in its rightful place and perspective. It had to happen. That work had to be done. And because that work was done, after Azusa, we're in a position now, we're operating in more glory now because of Azusa than we were before it. Listen, something that wasn't seen is now seen and tangible. We need to thank those people who labored. Part of their work was bringing into manifestation a thing that was unseen. Once that thing becomes seen and it's paid forward, now those who are laboring here are reaping of a thing, or they have access to a thing previously they didn't, because the other time, the other season, the other laborers sweated, they toiled for, they labored for, and then paid forward something that now we're easily able to access. We don't have to do that work now. You understand how we can take the harvest of their work, and now we're propelled forward. We're moved forward. We now have something to work with that will give us exponential output now. For example, man, I don't know who invented the electric drill, but do you know how much work you can get done now because you've got a battery-powered drill? You can be mobile. You don't have to worry about having to have this extension cord and plug in. This is probably a poor example, but I think you get what I'm saying. There are so many tools that we have today that is making what we're called to do so much easier because someone else, during their time of work, They labored to get that drill invented. They labored to get those tools invented. Now we're able to take their labors and connect what they did with what we're doing, but we're able to do it faster and more efficient because of their work. I think you get what I'm trying to say here. This is how it works in the spirit, friend. Now it is allowable. It is allowable now for another to add another faith to it. It is allowable now to add another glory to it and another strength, a strength and another grace to that, which is, and now it is allowable for an even greater demonstration of a thing. Let's go back to Ephesians 1:10 real quick in the last few moments we have of the podcast. And this is specifically planned this way. He said he planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ. All these revelations, all these demonstrations, all these faith to faith, glory and grace upon grace are being consummated into one demonstration. Again, I want to encourage you today to receive the knowledge of your place in history. Once you wake up to your place and what's available to you, you will understand your work. Listen, just receive it by faith. Own the fact that you are a generation that is anointed to finish. But in order to wrap this thing up, we have access to all the tools that all the generations before us have been working on, all the faith they've been working on, all the glory that's been demonstrated, all that's been paid forward in a compounding interest, as it were. There is a demonstration and a synergy now. So let's go back to the idea real quick. Let me touch on this. Make sure I made this point clear. If you're building a house, you lay the foundation. That's Jesus. Then you build upon the foundation. There's floor number one that had to be laid. There was a faith. There was a glory. There was a strength. There was a grace. It was demonstrated because you needed those things to put that floor in. Then that work was passed on to the next generation to lay floor number two. There was a grace, there was a faith, there was a glory, there was a strength, there was a demonstration. Then you go to floor number three, floor number four, floor number five, et cetera, et cetera. You understand what I'm trying to say here? This is a metaphor. This is an analogy. But these demonstrations and revelations have now been stacking upon one another. Faith upon faith, grace upon, glory upon. There's a demonstration. When you get to the generation now that's been assigned to put the roof on the thing, as soon as the roof is attached to the structure, now the totality of the house is awakened. You have a synergy now of all the floors working together, all the revelations working together now. Everything is unlocked because the final piece has been laid, the capstone, the consummation, the climax of the ages, the maturity of the thing. The house is now mature because the capstone, the keystone, has now been placed, and it unlocks all the potential of every floor. Friends, this is where we're at. We are the generation that will, by right of God's timing, see a full demonstration of his power and a synergy of all the previous moves of God rolled into one sustained glorious movement. Great demonstrations, great revelation, great salvations. Oh, hallelujah, friend. I hope you understand and can see this. I think we'll pause here for today. We may pick up on this theme a little bit later, but I want you to just join with me. And I'm going to pray with you that you will awake to your place in history. You will awake to the tools that are at your disposal. What are your tools? What do you have? What do you have at your disposal? You have the latest glory at your disposal. What are you working with? You have the latest faith at your disposal. What are you working with? You have the latest grace to work with. What do you have? You have the latest strength. Remember, strength is strength. If it's a progression, what tools do you have to work with? If you'll awake to what's been handed to you, what's been given to you, if you'll awake to the harvest at which we have to draw from, that'll awaken our possibilities. We'll see our work and the tools we have to work with. This is why I'm saying these are the days of the greatest glory the earth has ever seen. It's not because we're so special, but it's because we have been placed into the labors of others. And Jesus said in John 4, you'll reap where you haven't labored. You'll have tools. You'll have tools at your disposal. You will have a glory at your disposal. You will have a faith, a substance to build with at your disposal that previous generations haven't had. Why? Because it's compounded. It's synergy. It's been paid forward. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now. Wow, my heart is just lit up. Father, it is so exciting. What an amazing time we are living in. And Father, I pray that whoever's listening right now to this podcast, that they're getting a vision of what is at their disposal. The glory, Father, we are called to labor in and to labor with. Father, the faith that we have been placed in to labor with and to labor in. Father, the strength and the graces that are available for the body of Christ right now. Father, I pray right now, oh, Holy Ghost, awaken hearts. Come on, just say this with me. Say, I receive right now, I receive an increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing. Ephesians chapter 1, let me pray this over you. Ephesians chapter 1, you can pray this with me. You can quote this with me. Hallelujah. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us. Come on, make it personal. Father, that you'll give it to me. I receive it. Give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Father, that we would know that we're in the end of time. We would know our time. We would know our season. We would know our ordinance. We would know our work. And we would know the tools, Father, that you've given to us to work with. In the mighty name of Jesus. So be it, friend. Listen, it's working in you right now. Come on, say, it's working in me right now. There's an increase in the spirit of seeing and knowing. It's working in me right now, right now, right now. It's working in you. Hallelujah. Well, stay up with us, friend. Stay up with Jesus, but stay up with us. Hook up with us. We invite you into partnership. And if we can be of any assistance to you in any way, reach out to us. Send us an email. hello@gracecitychurch.tv, like television. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Send us an email. Let us know how we can agree with you in prayer. We'd love to pray with you. Or call us. Hey, if you want to call us on the phone, 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get right back with you. We'd love to partner with you, and we're inviting you to partner with us. Help us in what we're doing, and let's get the word out there. Hallelujah. Bless you, friend. We're so thankful that you tuned in with us today. Share the podcast if you've been encouraged or you know somebody that would be encouraged by listening to it. Make sure you get it to them. It'll bless them. Thank you so much. And until next time, my friends, be blessed.